RadioMD. RadioMD.com.
Melanie Cole welcomes Dr. Holly Lucille with our regular feature, Inherently You. Now back to Melanie and Dr. Holly.
Well, when you think about emotional eating, people just eat, they mindlessly eat, and we talk about all these things that you should do consciously and thinking about them. But how do you stop that emotional eating and look for comfort food? Of course, today we're with Dr. Holly, Inherently You. That's our new name now, huh?
Yeah, it is. We're going to try to get people well in here, meaning in for each and every individual. You know, it's always different. We've got all this information out there, Melanie, but how can people really wrap their minds around it and pull it in and think about it, you know, roll it around and, hey, does this sound good? Does it feel good for you, your family, and the choices that you want to make? And so I want to try to do that on a little bit more of an individual basis, even though things such as radio and the internet are a big platform.
Well, they are, and we can reach a lot more people this way, but it still is individual. And when we're talking about emotional eating, that is absolutely as individual as it gets. We think of, we punish ourselves when we overeat. We negative self-talk ourselves and say, I'm not going to eat today at all. I'm just not going to eat because my thighs are fat. And then something happens, and before you know it, we're shoving our hand into whatever it is.
Yeah.
So
how
do we stop that?
Well, I got to tell you something. I've known, you know, for the biggest thing, my patients teach me everything in my practice. It is so different for everybody. You know, there are some people that when they get sad, they actually get sort of anorexic. And I say that in a medical term as far as the meaning lack of appetite, not eating. Other people that get sad or, you know, are blue, that's when the emotional eating comes on. And so I think it's really important for each and every person to find out what emotion actually makes them eat. You know, I'm going to repeat this over and over again because I think it's an excellent point for folks if they really want to understand diet. Diet in the dictionary means habitual nourishment. How as a habit, and habits are huge. I'm going to be talking a lot about habits because I am very curious about them. I'm very curious about how I have them in my life and how we can use the science of habits to actually start, you know, if we're going to have habits and we're creatures of those habits, why don't we start making them a little bit better than we have some of them? And so what I think is really good is how, as a habit, do you nourish yourself? Well, you know, that's what the real definition of diet means, but food is everything in this society, right? It's celebratory. It is religious. It is comfort for sure. People use it. And so I think that's really important to do your own research and know how you have, what emotion you have that triggers that wanting, that needing to eat. One of the things I think is great, and you and I have talked about this before, is keeping a journal. And it's hard because a lot of people don't want to face what they've done. It's what we're trying to get away from. We're trying to get away from ourselves, our feelings, etc. But if you can just at least, without judgment, say, you know what? It was 10 o'clock. I was fine. But then I started thinking about my relationship with my boss at work, and I ate a pint of ice cream. You know, so, and I was feeling lonely, and I was also feeling abandoned, and I was feeling unsupported. You know, if you can get that down, I think awareness is the first step, and it's really important. You and I have talked about you bite it, you write it, and then you cite it. The next day, you said in the mirror, you know, just say, hey, this is what I did. And it's only the simple thing, Melanie, is just opening people's eyes to the fact that we have fallen asleep at the wheel when it comes to emotional eating.
Absolutely. And as you say, you write it, you bite it, you do all these things, you keep track, you try to. But sometimes, Dr. Holly, I mean, awareness, obviously, being the biggest thing, and exercising, trying to keep it under control. But sometimes you don't even notice you're doing it. I mean, people that I know, obese people and specifically, or people that I've watched get fat over the years, don't even know they're doing it. And you can watch them and stand there and be talking to them, and they're putting stuff in their mouth. They don't even know they're doing it.
Well, that's the big thing about awareness. And it's the mindfulness, and that's the thing about Inherently You. It's like, look, Melanie, there's all this information out there, right? Why are people still struggling so much? And that I think people do need to be nudged to wake up, use their own mind, and start making these choices better. So you're right. Exercising regularly, of course, helps to reduce stress and anxiety. And, of course, we know we have fewer cravings when we do so. Getting enough sleep can help stop this emotional eating pattern for sure. I have to tell you, I am one of those people that I try in my, you know, I try to be consistent with what I say and what I do, right? So walk my talk, But sometimes I will shed sleep because I want to get up and exercise. And today, you know what? I've been having a little bit of a busy spell, and I turned my alarm off, and I said, you know what? I'm not going to get up. I am going to sleep, and I feel so much better. There are hormones, leptin and ghrelin. They're your feel-full hormones and your really craving, hungry hormones, and they get confused with sleep deprivation. And that's when you're going mindlessly for those refined food products in the middle of the day just to kind of get you through that day. You're medicating your wake cycle, and it's not okay. So getting enough sleep is a really important point if you want to get on top of this emotional eating.
Well, it's true, and Arianna Huffington is cruising around the country right now talking about sleep and the importance of it and what she's seen as sleep deprivation. And that's a whole nother topic you and I can talk about. But yeah, they're putting in, you know, they got nap rooms and stuff. So that's, I'm digging the nap rooms. Okay, so emotional eating, you know, junk food, these things make you sort of feel better, but not then, afterwards.
Yeah, well, I think it gets into a shame cycle, more or less.
You know, it does, because eating a carrot is not a comfort food, but you don't feel bad afterwards. But it doesn't do anything for you in that short term.
No, but I think one of the things, you know, that I've read about is stop thinking of foods, like you said, as good or bad. You know, the cookies versus, you know, I think researchers have been clear that that people turn to forbidden foods when they're stressed, hoping that that's what's going to make them feel better. But you're right. What happens after they eat something that they have identified as bad is that they have shame about it. What do we do when we have feelings that we don't tolerate very well? Shame, sadness, loneliness, you know, abandonment, all of those things. We try to cover them up. So the cycle just starts. It becomes a vicious cycle. You know, you wake up and you're like, oh, crap, I can't believe I ate that last night. Yep. And you get through the day, you hold on for a little bit, and then you're at it again. Why? Because, so I think that gentleness, that awareness, that not labeling things and starting to write down what is going on, because it's all about bringing what's unconscious for us into the consciousness, I think, so we can actually deal with it. That's the way. And this is real. I mean, the struggle is real when it comes to emotional
eating. So real.
It is so real. And I think just to support people in the fact that it is real, gentleness, awareness, and hey, if you can't do it by yourself, get some help, you know, because honestly, this is what leads to these chronic health problems, obesity, of course, and it is on the rise, and it doesn't seem like the stats say that this is going to get any better by the year 2050. It's going to get twice as bad as it is today. And why? With all the information we have, with all of the tools we have, and so if it's in our hearts, if it's in our heads, then let's go there. Let's inherently get inside of us and figure out what's going on, just so we can really be more happy and have a quality of life that's worth living, you know, throughout our 100s.
No kidding, right? And just to recap what Dr. Holly said, inherently you stop thinking of foods as good or bad. Find out those emotions that make you eat. Journal these feelings. Journal what happens, what you're feeling when you emotionally eat. Find out, get aware of the situation. What is causing this situation? Try and be aware as you're doing it. Try and make yourself aware. Stop shaming yourself and body shaming. Get your regular exercise. Get enough sleep. So important. Seeking professional help if you have to go to Overeaters Anonymous or whoever. Dr. Holly, 30 seconds, baby. Here you go.
Listen, as we said, as far as emotional eating is concerned, the struggle is real. It can be devastating for people because it can't get out of the cycle. So awareness, gentleness, making sure you own it and work with it in a kind, gentle manner. And if all else fails and you think that you are, you know, rolling down the track and not getting any success, get some help.
That's great advice. It certainly is. And of course, we're giving you that great advice right here on Radio MD every Tuesday. You can listen to Dr. Holly Lucille, Inherently You, at around 11:30 Central Time, 12:30 Eastern. So be sure you tune in and share these shows with your friends. I share her shows with my friends. That's how smart she is. So stay tuned. More great show coming up. This is Melanie Cole. Stay well.